family, two friends of mine who I love very dearly, Sebit and Susie Cooge. We met 20 years ago in Sudan, okay? All three of us were single at that time. We played a little dating game. Susie decided to take Sebit over me. I don't know why. She just said I was uglier. No, not, no. But nonetheless, these two were touched by God to minister to the people in a city called Tonj, a small town called Tonj in South Sudan. At the time God called them to that, there was a civil war going on down in South Sudan. And the poverty down there was very, very, very hard. The life down there was very, very hard and still is, but not like it was then. And Sebit and Susie, God brought them together as a couple. They decided to go down there and minister to the people, raise their family down there. And through many of trials over these years, they have stood the time. They have stood those trials. God has blessed that ministry there. If you get their news, their newsletters, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Without any further delay, I'd like to introduce you my dear friend in Christ, Sebit Cooge. And then at the end, I'll talk about all the little kids. And everyone's going to say, oh, Uncle Troy, don't do that. But I am. Brother.
First of all, I really want to thank you for allowing us to be here and fellowship with you. We've been here once before, and it's so good to see some of the people still remember. Some of us still can't remember anything. I want to share with you first a passage from the Bible from Acts chapter 10. Like Troy said, we met 20 years ago. And 20 years ago, Tonj, where we live, life was very basic, very, very simple. One of the things that still stick in my memory, that people really rely on, when it's the fishing season, people will go to the river and fish. When it's the mango season, a lot of families will go to the mango tree and live on those mangoes. And I say that because in the fishing season, it will be about right this time, a bit cold and dry. And you see all the kids with a round of oil around their mouth and in their hand. And then everybody smell fishy. And I say that because the passage that we're going to talk about today is about diet. God talking to Peter, and he wants to expand his diet. And we'll see that how it's going to have something to do with mission. So Acts chapter 10 and verse 9. I'll start from verse 9. But let's pray first. Father, Lord, I thank you. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the message that changed and transformed people all over the world, Father. We are humbled and honored, Lord, to be your servant, Lord. And thank you because we cannot do it on our own. Thank you because of the churches, the universal church, Lord, sending missionaries and supporting, and so that your kingdom is expanded and your glory is known and people will come to you and know you, Lord. We thank you, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I can use that? Okay. Okay. Okay, I'll start from verse 9 and from verse 1 to verse 8. Obviously, maybe we're familiar. This is a story an angel appeared to Cornelius. And and ask him to send somebody to go call Peter to him. But I'll start from verse 9 here in chapter 10. This is what it says. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into trance and saw heaven open and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kind of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again, the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done three times, and then the object was taken up into heaven again. So here we see God wanted, obviously, God wanted to send the church into new areas that they never been into to take the gospel message to the Gentile. And this passage, though it is about diet, though it is about food, but believe me, it has something to do with taking God's word to the nation. Some scholars, they say, no, it's just about diet, but I do disagree. It is about mission. And every time I come to the U.S. here, maybe 4 or 5 years ago I came, I didn't know anything about gluten-free food. I just see people buy, there's some section in the supermarket about gluten-free food. This time I came and talking with friend, and they talked to me about the caveman diet. That's the PLO. They talked about other diets, if I remember the, I forget. But every time I come, people are becoming so sensitive what they can allow to enter their body. We become so, like weird sometimes. I'm saying this in love. I know. I come from Africa where we eat anything. Anything. Anyway. So we see Peter here in Leviticus chapter 11. They were given a strict diet. And the purpose for that diet was to separate them from other nations. So that they have a certain things that they can eat and certain things they don't eat. So in this sheet that was given to Peter, probably things like there was obviously cows, pigs, goats, also creeping things. I'm thinking like snake, scorpion. I'm thinking like grasshoppers as well. So things, and obviously things that they couldn't eat as well, like pigs and other insects. So him being raised in that culture, it was very difficult. It was sincere, very difficult for him to open. But God had a purpose. God had a purpose. I wanted to remind you, this is not the first time that the Lord deal with food with them, with the disciples. Jesus in Mark chapter 7 and verse 17 and 18 and 19 actually taught his disciple and told them, not what enter the body defile the body, right? It's what comes from the heart. So Peter should have known better. And when Jesus said that, actually, after he finished teaching, he went and met with the Samaritan lady and started talking and sharing the gospel with the lady. Here we see, after the vision was given to Peter, at the same time, he heard people were knocking. And that's, we'll pick up from verse 17. It says, now, while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry, inquiry for Simon's house, and stood before the gate, and they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them to you." Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, "Yes, I am the whom you seek. For what reason have you come?" Peter, we see Peter here from obedience to the Lord and to the Spirit. He goes with these three men. Now, realize that Peter is staying in a tanner, house, somebody who's working with skin animals, making skin things, and that was not allowed for the Jewish. So we could see, like, he wasn't really a sprig. Also, when he saw that the Lord asking him to go to Cornelius' house, who is an officer in the army, the Romans army, he also obediently went there. And then they say to Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear the words from you. Then he invited them and lodged with them. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied them. So he goes with them, and we see the story goes, when he arrived there, Cornelius kind of wanted to kneel down. He said, "No, I'm a man like you." And then he explained to him that God has sent an angel to bring him and to hear a message from him. Now, what God's put in my heart first, in this first part, is that as a Christian today, obviously we're a Gentile, we receive the gospel message, and now it is within us, within our grasp, to take it as well to other nation. But sometimes, brethren and sisters, we get comfortable and we allow the comfort and we allow the tradition and our culture to prevent us from taking this message to other people. In the 20 years, as you heard, 20 years ago, we used to see in Taunt a lot of missionaries from this nation. They were being sent out, single people, elderly people, they're coming. There wasn't no any restriction. There wasn't no fear. And bringing, because they believe in the gospel. I came to the Lord because of the passion I've seen in the missionaries that they came. There was no fear about the bombing that we're dropping. There was no fear about the diseases that sometimes you hear. But that passion of the gospel, and we'll see in a minute, that gospel that can bring a change and a transformation and a peace to these nations, that's what I saw. But I see also nowadays, we are maybe the culture, the comfort of this world, maybe the tradition, our own lifestyle becoming on the way of what God wants to do through us. Maybe it's a diet. There's nothing wrong, obviously, with choosing a diet and living a healthy life. But when it come between you and the call of God to send you somewhere, then it is a problem. Peter, he's been raised up in that Jewish culture. In a certain diet, he cannot mix with the Gentile. And then God was doing something bigger. Obviously, in the first church, this was a divinely orchestrated, because God wanted to send the church now out to the Gentile. And we see that it was heavenly, like God was doing this specifically. So the elders that were in Jerusalem church, the disciples, now they cannot hold back and just stay within what they know in Jerusalem and the church there. And we will see later how the Holy Spirit allowed the Gentile to speak in tongue and experience exactly the same way what had happened in the Pentecost day. So I come back. We have the responsibility to be sensitive to the Spirit so that He can send us. And when we feel our things of life becoming between us and that God's calling, then we are in trouble and we better act like what Peter did here. I'm going to jump to verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." Before I expound in these verses, I just forgot to say, In the years that we've been in Taunt, we've seen God doing amazing works. We had people coming from all over. I wanted to talk a little bit about just two elderly men that came from New Zealand, Richard and Brian. They came to us. They're Brian's son and his daughter-in-law. They were moving. They moved. Their doctors with us. And then they have, at a time, they have two little girls, probably like 5 and 2 when they moved in. So they came to build a house for them. The one challenge was for Brian and Richard was rice and bean. Rice and bean. You eat rice and bean every day, every day. And that was a huge challenge. Brian lost like something crazy, like 20 kgs or something like that. And towards the end of his time, we had to force him to go back home. But he wouldn't allow us. We had to force him. Eventually, they went back home. Richard, on the other hand, he was like a builder. He was nagging us, he wants to come, but we were afraid, like we don't want him to come and suffer, but he came anyway. He built our new ward, and while he was doing that, he didn't allow the rice and beans scared. This time was a bit different because Susie was there, and the food was a much better. Yes. But one thing that happened, this has just happened last year, early last year, Richard had a heart attack and died. It never happened to us in all these 20 years, but we were all touched, knowing the difficulties, knowing the challenges, but wanting to come and bless the people in Taunj. And work. And you obviously, we have a clinic, but it's a basic clinic. And while doing that, had a heart attack and left us and went home. Saying that, and it's sad, but we are blessed that we see people who, beyond the challenges and the risk, coming, putting their life so that God's glory and the gospel message is being shared. I tell you, that speak volume, huge volume to the community in Taunt, because he didn't need to. I mean, he's in a retirement age. He lives very comfortably in New Zealand, and he wasn't being paid. There's no glory that you can get from this. But believing in what God has put in his heart, coming and doing this with the people. So many people, especially the people who are working with us, God blessed by that. And they have better commitment with the Lord. Coming back to this scripture. Now, Peter start speaking to Cornelius' house. And say the first thing that wanted to point out, he's like, now I know that God has no favoritism. He doesn't show any favoritism between people, being him a Jewish and these are Gentile. God sending his angel to Cornelius. That's something that we, most of the time happens only with the Jewish people. God revealed himself and talked with the Jewish people. So that's opening his eyes. That it's not about our race, it's not about our culture, it's not about what, how we treat our body, how, where we live or educated or not. God doesn't show any favoritism there. And actually the word favoritism, it's the root word in Hebrew, coming from God looking up for somebody who's doing good or looking down for somebody that is not good based on their race or color or something like that. So God doesn't have that. God only recognizes our heart attitude towards him. So that's the first thing that Peter realized. Wow, if God can send his angel and call me to go and talk with him, then God hold all of us in the same level. That's the first thing. The second thing, he could have shared the gospel message through the angel with Cornelius and tell him the good news that Jesus died with him. They know, but no, God uses people, uses somebody like Peter. And though Peter was a challenge, he had to step out of his comfort zone, out of his tradition, so that he can go and meet this man and give him the message. The second thing that I would like to point out is that he told them that Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus Christ is Lord of all the whole universe, the whole people, every tribe, every nation. And what a blessing to see that. Because sometimes as we get the word in our churches, in our Bible studies, we are so comforted and blessed because the word of God is available to these Christian nations here in the U.S., you know, and other nations that are Christian. And we rarely think about those who are very far, that those who doesn't know God, the Muslims, the people who are still worshiping idols. Jesus Christ is their Lord. And they need to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. So he pointed that out to them. Now, he started talking about, these guys heard about what Jesus was doing. They were in Caesarea. It's only about, it's still within the Jewish region. It was only about 30 miles from Joppa, where was Peter is. And then he said, you know what was going on. You know about Jesus who came. And he was doing healing and he was doing these things. And then while he was still talking, the Holy Spirit descending on them. And then they start speaking in tongues and in other languages. Peter didn't know. He was just presenting the gospel message. And then the Holy Spirit take control there. And then he filled them. And they start praising God, full, their heart full of joy. This blesses me because knowing the gospel, sometimes they think, oh, I am in control. I tell it, you know, to this group of community or these people, or this village. But God just wants us to share it and then the rest is his. He will do a big transformation. The other thing that I would like to point out is the peace, the word peace here. In turn, we still suffer from tribalism. We still, people are very violent towards each other. still they don't know the real peace. We had this program called CHE, Community Health Evangelism. We take it to villages around, and it's basically teaching people preventive ways from diseases, washing hands, using mosquito nets, so that they're prevented from diseases and they don't need medicine. They can just help themselves. But at the same time, we have a spiritual lesson, teaching, sharing God's word with them. We had this village called Bobi. I think it was early 2017. It was a different tribe from where we are in Tonj. And a fight started happening between these two tribes. That group of young people will go from Tonj, the Dinkas, and attack the Luos. They go, they start shooting them and rob, take their food and take their valuable stuff. And then we had this village CHE and church, and one of the leaders that we work with, he got killed from the Dinkas, where we are. So the Luos tribe, now they start looking at the Dinkas, and anything that coming from the Dinka side was very suspicious. Actually, other people from their own tribe, they said, don't welcome these guys. They come here and they kill us and they take our stuff. Well, why would we work with them? Why would we hear them? A group of us took some clothes, took some food, took some mattresses. And it was dangerous, but we decided to go and drive and go first, see the family of Simon Man, Santino Man, that was the chief that was killed, pray with them, apologize on behalf of the Dinkas, and not everybody is like that. That's not what we can do, but forgive them. We prayed with them, and the houses that were burned, helped them to rebuild, and then giving food. And one lady, I remember, she was so touched. She was like, this is what I was thinking, that these people are bad. I will never have anything to do with them. But now I know there is Christian. I know God's care for us. Because for you to come and apologize and restore that relationship, that speak huge. And then more than that, this village working with CHE with them, become very strong. They were able to go over their struggle with that and even start reaching other villages and plant churches in the villages next to them. Their pastor that we work, his name is Pasquale, and another pastor, Martin Goy, they lead the work there, and actually they are doing very good. Through CHE, they've been respected, they've been admired, everybody sees them, welcome them, they're home because of the work that is going on there. So how does this, like the story that's happening with Peter, apply to us today? First, God wants to use the churches, people who knows his gospel message, people who knows his word, so that he can reach so many people around the world. I know you know that there's so many people that a group, unreached group, in Tonj alone, we were just here in the mission conference in Marietta, and we were looking at unreached group, just not very far away from where we live, 3 hours in Wau. I was surprised. I never thought about them, but this group, nomadic group that goes from South Sudan all the way to West Africa, that I don't think they heard the gospel. And I don't want to talk about the tribes that we know that they don't have God's word translated into their language. So that's the first need. And sometimes God can call somebody from here. And sometimes these, as I said earlier, what we are comfortable with might come on the way. Maybe not going or not even sending our loved one. I know sometimes we were blessed in this mission conference that a lady that's 19 years old, she wants to come and teach the children of the other family with us there. And she told us that her mom said, I just trust you to the Lord. I committed you to the Lord. So wherever God takes you, go and fulfill God's will in your life. We were blessed to hear that. It's not easy to trust your family and go somewhere that you don't know and you're not comfortable and may be risky. So maybe God's called somebody who's related to you. Would you trust God with that person in you? The other thing, not just in Mission Far Away, but even around us, right? There's some groups that maybe they're very different from us. Maybe they look different, they behave different. They deserve to hear God's word, and God might nudge you. Come out of your comfort zone, like Peter did, and go and share the gospel with them. That's what God is telling us. The other thing also that we can take from here, after the Holy Spirit descended on the Gentiles, and they started speaking in tongue, they invited Peter to sit with them and fellowship with them and eat with them. And you could see the unity now start happening between the Jewish believers and the Gentile believers for the first time. God called us as a church in unity. And I know this can be applicable to our various denominations. Sometimes we judge people through that, or we see people through that. And God definitely doesn't want us to see through those eyes. He wants to see like what he did to Peter here. Look at this guy. Look at this Cornelius. I sent my angel to him. He was a good guy. He was seeking me. I put that in his heart. He deserved to hear the gospel message. We need to see them not like what we see. We said earlier that no favorism. God only recognized the heart, and it's not the appearance, and it's not the culture or the race or all that. So unity is something that God can speak through us. I wanted to share a little bit about what God has done through the years has gone in Taunt. As you know, we have a medical clinic. We used to operate in this small medical clinic, but God, after we start building a good building, but it took us like 10 years to finish it. I know it's like a miracle that when it finished, it did change. Have a nice place, very good to serve the people and the patient that comes. We start focusing only on children and mothers. Those are the group that are very vulnerable there. And last year, about 52,000 people that came through the clinic. And every time when they come there, we have now about 5 pastors that always there in the clinic sharing God's word, counseling, and even helping when there is a need, whether through food or anything. And then, like as I said, God blessed us last year with building a ward. And that what a blessing. And you will see it in the picture, the slideshow that we'll do just now, from a crowded small place to a really good place has 20 bed. God was so good to us that the 3 Che villages, now they're growing. They're going to be 10. And God's opening us a good door there to share the gospel. The church is doing great. The church, after we've gone from here the last time in 2016, it's grown from 60 to 200. A lot of them young people that are hungry and seeking God. And a lot of testimony, a lot of baptism, because a lot of people are accepting the Lord. People are hungry, folks. One thing that I'm really passionate and excited with the young people is the soccer outreach that we do, football. We call it their football. And then we have big numbers that come to see these matches, probably about each game about 2,000 to 3,000 people that would watch, and then 10 teams competing each other. And then we use a sport lingo so that we can bring the gospel message, using something like passes to serve with one another. And also, God opened a door for us in a radio, an FM radio, so that at night, three times a week, for a whole month, that we share the gospel. About not less than 5,000 people that hearing the gospel each time these programs were. God is so good to us that some of the people that work with us, God opened a door for them to go and study, got a scholarship, become clinical officers, that PA, physician assistants or nurses. And right now, we have probably about five that who study, one finished that working in the clinic. And these are homegrown. So we disciple them and then we send them and then we bring, there's the field there is wide open. And, the Bible school that graduated about 12, four of them, they are continuing in the ministry. We halted a little bit because of the work in the clinic. Now we want to reopen that, but we need teachers. We need people to come and volunteer and teach these hungry pastors so that they can teach in their churches and disciple more people. Let me just, if we can play the video and then we pray and finish.